All right, go to Exodus 20 and Deuteronomy 5. I like saying stuff like that, update these things, just so some of you all of a sudden get puckered up real quick, all right? And then I like to explain it a little bit later so you know that what I'm talking about. Just kind of, you know, I should have held that a little bit longer. Just see some of you, oh, pastor, there he goes. Next thing you know. All right, Exodus chapter 20. You should know what's in Exodus chapter 20. Okay? You ought to know that. All right? And you ought to just, I mean, if you don't, you'll find out tonight real quickly. The Ten Commandments. All right, there we go. And that's where God lists them for the children of Israel. And so even if you don't know all 10 of them, and I think that by the end of the summer, you'll be able to know all 10 of them, all right, and be able to repeat them in order. And that wouldn't be a bad thing. You'd have to wait, by the way, till the end of summer to do that. You know, even if you could just, you know, maybe even close your eyes for a second and just kind of, okay, I wonder if I know 6 of them. 8, 2. You know, and then maybe you next week you work up to 3, all right, and you just get them. If you have 11, you've got to get a different version, all right. But there's 10. By the way, there are more than 10. I mean, but these are the 10. And these 10 commandments will be the parenthesis, if you would, or they'll be the boundaries for all the other commandments. All the other commandments will fall under these 10 commandments. In fact, any law that's right will fall under these 10 commandments. Now, the thing about the 10 commandments, and in fact, I would say biblical things in general, but we are so blessed in the United States of America that just by even perusing our law books, you'll find the Bible in it. Because the founders of our country, whether or not they were Christians or not is debatable, all right, and real debatable. But they were deists. And what we mean by that is if they did not believe that Jesus Christ was their Savior or the Savior, at the very least, they believed in providence with a capital P. They believed that there was a higher power out there, and it was God, okay? And, of course, they had different beliefs on that or varying, you know, that, and that comes just naturally, if you would, through the ways of man. But, you know, there is one God, and he has a son, and he gave us his Holy Spirit. And that is the Godhead, that's the Trinity that we speak of. And through that Trinity, we have the privilege of having the Word of God. And I think we talk about it so, as Christians with our new nature, naturally. I mean, it's open your Bible. And it's just, yeah, of course we open our Bible. We have a Bible. Of course we would open it. And we're in church and all that sort of stuff. But you got to understand, they didn't have what you have in these realms. And yet God did give them these words, Fred Flintstone style, right? Barney Rubble, on tables of stone. God did that. And God wrote them for them. And so here in Exodus chapter number 20, and we're going to read down through 17 this evening to begin with. And we're going to study in the next, you know, at least 11 weeks, including this week, the 10 commandments that God gave to Israel. And my hope is that through them, obviously, we will learn. We'll learn the scriptures, and then through the scriptures, we'll learn of the God of the scriptures. And that through this study, we'll, as other studies, I would hope the same thing, we'll be revived and we'll be renewed and we'll be replenished and another R will be reproved, actually. We'll be reproved through this study. And my goal is that we wouldn't just hear them, but then we'd always be doers of them, lest we be deceived. The 10 commandments, you should know before we read them, they're not necessary for you today for salvation. They're not necessary for you today for salvation. But, as you'll see, they are still holy and just and good. Christ, when he died on the cross of Calvary, the Bible says he nailed the ordinances to the cross and he took them out of the way. He fulfilled it. And then as far as salvation went, he took it out of the way, and he is that door to salvation, Jesus Christ is. No more is the Ten Commandment necessary for salvation, but they're still holy, and they're still just, and they're still good. And as you fulfill them, you fulfill God's law, and God is pleased with that. So let's read these commandments, Exodus chapter number 20, and I'll give you the number as we go through them. I'll tell you what, if you have a pen, or maybe you're just taking notes, you want to mark it later on, mark the number next to it if you are so inclined, and that way you have a knowledge of these, you know where the separation is. And God spake all these words, saying, I am the Lord thy God, which have brought thee out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of bondage. Number one, thou shalt have no other gods before me. Number two, thou shalt not make unto thee any graven image or any likeness of anything that is in heaven above, or that is in the earth beneath, or that is in the water under the earth. Thou shalt not bow down thyself to them, nor serve them. For I, the Lord thy God, am a jealous God, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children, unto the third and fourth generation of them that hate me, and showing mercy unto thousands of them that love me and keep my commandments. Number three, thou shalt not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain, for the Lord will not hold him guiltless that taketh his name in vain. Number four, remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. 6 days shalt thou labor and do all thy work, but the seventh day is the Sabbath of the Lord thy God. In it thou shalt not do any work, thou, nor thy son, nor thy daughter, thy manservant, nor thy maidservant, nor thy cattle, nor thy stranger that is within thy gates. For in 6 days the Lord made heaven and earth, the sea, and all that in them is, and rested the seventh day. Wherefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and hallowed it. Number five, honor thy father and thy mother, that thy days may be long upon the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee. Number six, verse number 13, thou shalt not kill. Number seven, thou shalt not commit adultery. Number eight, thou shalt not steal. Number nine, thou shalt not bear false witness against thy neighbor. And number 10, thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's house. Thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's wife, nor his manservant, nor his maidservant, nor his ox, nor his ass, nor anything that is thy neighbor's. And let's pray. Father, again, we thank you we can assemble tonight. We pray this study be profitable to you and then to us as we try to learn of you and learn of your word. And Lord, as we try to follow it, Lord, as you would have us to do, Holy Spirit of God, I pray that you'd empower us and enable us. And Lord, we do thank you for the law. We thank you for the direction it gave us. We thank you for the markings that it showed us. It showed us the sin in our life, and so that we could recognize that we need a Savior, and we thank you for that. We know that it is still holy and just and good, so help us, O Father, to obey these things and do them according to your will. Thank you for Jesus Christ, who fulfilled all the law, and by that then becomes the door of salvation for all men. And Lord, we thank you again for our nursery workers and our children's ministry laborers. I pray you'd encourage them this evening and help them. Thank you again for our facilities and growing us and building us. And we ask you to continue to do that. And Lord, we just love you. You are the best. We pray this all in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, believing. Amen. Hold your place here in Exodus 20 and turn over to Deuteronomy chapter 5. Deuteronomy chapter 5. So Exodus, God gave the law. He moved the children of Israel out of the bondage of Egypt. That's your first, several chapters. And then he gives them the law in Exodus chapter number 20. And of course, they do some wandering in the wilderness. And eventually, they're going to make their way over to Jordan, over the Jordan River, and into the promised land. Before they do that, God's going to remind them again of his law and his ways. And so you have Deuteronomy. And Deuteronomy is the second giving of the law. For one thing, he also just reminds the Levitical priesthood, or the priests of that day, if you would, who are keeping the law and helping Israel to do that. He gives them these commands again. So what you have in Deuteronomy chapter 5 is another giving of the law. It's not different. Some of it may be worded different, but it's another giving of the law. And you're going to pick that up about verse number 6. And the Bible says there in Deuteronomy 5, 6, I am the Lord thy God, which brought thee out of the land of Egypt from the house of bondage. And you'll notice again the Ten Commandments. So if you can't find Exodus chapter 20, you can find Deuteronomy chapter 5 perhaps. And between one or the other, you can know these Ten Commandments. The first is in verse 7, the second is in verse 8, the third in verse 11, the fourth in verse number 12. You notice those first four deal directly with God and our dealings with God and our relationship with God. And then the last six, and they begin in verse number 16, they deal with our relationships with man. So number 5 is in verse 16, number 6 is in verse 17, number 7 is in verse 18, 8 in verse 19, 9 in verse 20, and the 10th there in verse number 21. So he gives it to them again. And then he goes on to Deuteronomy 6, and obviously Deuteronomy 6 naturally follows Deuteronomy chapter number 5. And he is going to admonish, if you would, Israel once again and encourage them, if you would, to follow this law and then to continue to teach this law to the generations after them. So as we look at this study in particular, we're going to try to make more family application, if you would, than normal. Okay, we're going to try to make more family application than normal. And there's a primary reason I have been doing this, okay? And that would be, first and foremost, is that as a family and a family unit, as a father and mother with children, we need to teach our children the Word of God. We need to teach our children the way of God. And the Bible admonishes us to do that. It directs us to do that in both the Old Testament and the New Testament. But we need help. And the institution of the family, which God, I think, first ordained, okay? Family first, some would say. Well, I would say God first, of course. God first, of course. But in the institutions, that would be family, then government, then church. God instituted the family back in Genesis chapter number 1. And the family, as I think you are very well aware, is being attacked in inconceivable fashion today. The family unit is being diluted more and more every day. Now, there are many to blame for this, okay? There are many to blame for this. But we as Christians, although we are not in a cave and our head is not in the sand, we do have a certain responsibility to, A, teach our children and teach our family, and B, insulate them from the things of this world. All right? Insulate them, if you would, from the things of this world. I didn't say isolate. I believe there's a time for isolation. Come on, I think there's a time for isolation. I think there's a time when you hide your kids. I mean, you shelter them. I think there's times for that. And I think as a parent, you need to be discerning about that. You just can't say, well, we just let them choose and they're already hearing this somewhere else, or they're already seeing this somewhere else, or they already learned this in this classroom. So it's just, no. I think there's a time where you do need to shelter. I think there's other times where you have to insulate them and where they see these things that are going on. And you can, you know, I mean, I actually read an article the other day, and it really didn't. I just read the beginning of it. I didn't read the whole thing of it. But why do dogs tilt their heads? Anyway, what that's got to do with anything I'm about to say, I don't know. But I did see a sign on the way home from Rathdrum, though, yesterday. If cats could text you back, they wouldn't. And I thought that was really good. But that has even less to do with what I'm talking about. But you know, you see your kids sometimes, and they see something, and maybe they don't do this, but you see that look where they went. Am I making some sense? And they see the degraded family unit. They see two men, two women, right? They see these things. Hey, some of you have family members like that, and you've asked me, what do we do? Well, I think you insulate. So, well, man, they're going to blurt something out. They're kids. They're kids. Maybe out of the mouth of babes and sucklings. They're kids. But you insulate them. And you say, what do you mean I insulate? Well, you've taught them what the scripture says. And if they're going to know what the scripture says and they repeat what the scripture says, well, for the most part, it's going to be anti-society. But you've insulated them. Am I making sense? Because you understand that one day they are going to be out there. And if you only isolate and you only isolate and you only isolate, it's going to be more than. So we insulate. So how do we insulate? We teach them the scriptures. Thus saith the Lord. What saith the scriptures? And so in dealing with this and trying to continue the biblical family model, we teach these scriptures. And we're going to go through these Ten Commandments to try to fortify the family to withstand the attacks and maybe even prosper. By the grace of God, prosper. Right? Now, some of you, this is not, you know, rocket science here. Some of you are older than others in here. Some of you, you heard of these things and you said, there's no way that's going to be. And it is. There's no way that's ever going to be the, and by the way, it's not the norm. It's not the norm. It never will be the norm. But the media will tell you it's the norm. But the media, who defines the norm for most people, has said it's the norm, and you just went, did I just hear that correctly? Right? And you rewind it, or what? Yes, that's what they said. That's what it is. You never thought. And so some of us, and I'm 45 now, and I'm thinking there's no way that that's going to be. And you know what? Chances are it's going to be. It's going to be. And you know what? There's a part of me that wants the rapture to occur just so she doesn't have to go through it. She doesn't even ever have to ever think about it and know about it. And right? Because we've said numerous times, there's no situation or issue or problem the rapture cannot solve. But I also, on the other hand, know that even though I know the Lord is coming back, I don't know when. I don't know when. And it may be maybe 20, 30, 40 years from now. And that means that she's going to have to go through it. And she's going to have to raise family through it. Through it. Through it. And so what I want to do is I want to give them the best advantage. I want to give them a better opportunity to make it. Make what? In a biblical fashion, in a biblical manner. And we understand that if the Bible is old-fashioned now, in 20 more years, it's not getting newer fashioned. Yeah, right? And I want them to know that that's okay, because the word of the Lord is right, because the way of the Lord is perfect. And so God knew all these things. God knew all these things. Do you understand it's not a surprise that he's not returned yet to God? Right? God's not going, I was supposed to be back in 81. Right? I blew it. Right? It's not a surprise. God knew we were going to be here. God knew what was going on. God knew what the technology was going to be. God knew the inventions of man. God knew all. And God wrote these things for us today. And he's wrote them for generations previous. And if the Lord, I hate to use the word tarries, but if he tarries, it'll be for the generations following. So he gives these words, and he gives them in Deuteronomy chapter 6. And you'll notice that he is speaking specifically to Israel, but All this scripture is given by inspiration of God, and it's profitable for doctrine, reproof, correction, instruction, and righteousness. All these Old Testament scriptures are written for our learning and admonition upon whom the ends of the earth come. So he says in verse 4, "Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord." And we looked at this verse a while back ago when we talked about the great commandment, "Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thine heart, with all thy soul, with all thy might." And these words, which I command thee this day, shall be in my heart, in thine heart. Well, he's going to give them more words as you read on all the way through the end before he goes off. Moses wrote this. These are the last words of Moses, if you would. He's going. He's not going into the promised land. He blew it when he took his rod and he smote that rock twice. And the water came out. God said, "Speak to the rock and I'll take care of the children of Israel." And he took the rod and hit it twice. And God said, "Because of that, you disobeyed me and you're not going in." And he's trying to get in still, by the way. Man, he's trying to get in. But God says, "No, you get to see this, and that's where it all is. Now write these words down." That's what he's doing. And he pens these words. And he also penned the previous words that we read in the Ten Commandments. And he says in verse 6, "And these words, which I command thee this day, shall be in thine heart, and thou shalt teach them diligently unto thy children, and shall talk of them when thou sittest in thine house, and when thou walkest by the way, and when thou liest down, and when thou risest up, and thou shalt bind them for a sign upon thine hand, and they shall be as frontlets between thine eyes, and thou shalt write them upon the posts of thy house and on thy gates. And it shall be when the Lord thy God shall have brought thee into the land which he sware unto thy fathers, to Abraham, to Isaac, to Jacob, to give thee great and goodly cities which thou buildest not, and houses full of all good things which thou fillest not, and wells dig which thou diggest not, vineyards and olive trees which thou plantest not." Isn't God good? And he's good. "When thou shalt have eaten and be full, then beware, beware, beware." And I would say to the younger generation, beware. I'd say beware. Beware what? "Lest thou forget the Lord." Now, moms and dads, grandma and grandpas, it's our responsibility to teach them. Children, it's your responsibility to remember them and obey them. See? Now, I believe this, and this is not a scare tactic, but God's going to hold you accountable for what you hear tonight, June 4th, 2017. And according to Isaiah 55, that his word's not going to return void. And he's not just holding you accountable, he's holding me accountable. And so he says, beware. Beware what? "Lest thou forget the Lord which brought thee forth from out of the land of Egypt, from the house of bondage." And look, he didn't bring you out of Egypt. We understand that. But I'll tell you what, he saved you. He saved you. He saved you from a devil's hell. He gives you eternal life. Don't forget him. So Israel is admonished, and I would say that we are admonished, and we would do well to, if you would, first of all, look at and remember the great revelation, verse number 4, that there is one Lord. And I'm not going to take too long on these this evening. This is introduction for our study. There's a great revelation given in verse number 4, that there is one Lord. And we will look at this as we begin our study next week, and we look at commandment number 1, that thou shalt have none other God before me, no other gods before me, but there is to be one God in your life. There's to be one God in your life. Now here's what I won't say, that if you have more than one God in your life today that you're not saved. You might have a Lord over this and a Lord over that, and that's not right. There ought to be one Lord. But you can be saved, and he's not Lord over everything in your life. Does that make sense? I mean, we want him. There should be one God for this and one God for... One God over everything in your life. That's it. That's what God desires for you. And that's what God is trying to get with Israel here. And you got to understand that where they've come from and the history that they've been through already and being in Egypt all those years and the images and the gods, small g, that were the gods. That's why God gave them the plagues of the flies and the lice everything. Those were all gods to Egypt. God smote all those gods. God says, look, those aren't real gods. Those are small g gods. I'm the big G God. See, he took care of all those. And he reproved them, and Israel saw that, and they went with that for a while. But if you know anything about the history of Israel, it didn't take long before and murmuring entered in, and disobedience entered in, and they're turning. And God says, there's one. Hold your place here in Deuteronomy. Look at 1 Corinthians chapter number 8. There is to be one God in your life, Christian, the Lord God Almighty. 1 Corinthians chapter number 8. Just a couple verses for you this evening. 1 Corinthians chapter 8. Look at verse number 5. For though there be that are called gods. I like how he puts that. They're called gods. Whether in heaven or in earth, now notice, as there be gods many and lords many. You see small g, small l? There's a lot of, there's a little god over here, and a little god over here, and a little god, you know. Verse 6, but to us there is but one God, the Father, of whom are all things, and we in him, and one Lord Jesus Christ, by whom are all things, and we by him. So what is that? That's one God. The Lord Jesus Christ is one God. So that's two. Well, he's being redundant there. And I can't give you the correct term for that sort of thing here, but it's one Lord, one God. And you need one. And that's the command here. The great revelation that we need to understand in all these things is there is one God. Go back here to Deuteronomy chapter number 6. The great revelation, there's one Lord. The great response, verse number 5, one love. And thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thine heart, with all thy soul, with all thy might. We won't cover this in detail anymore. We just covered this in the last couple weeks as we considered the first and the great commandment. But we must ask ourselves, where is our love? Where's our love? Where's our love? Where is our love? When I wrote my check tonight, say, you bringing it to money? Sure. Amen. Sure. The Bible says this, where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. And I did. I wrote my check tonight for my tithes and my building fund, my missions. And I don't write it, even though I make it payable to Heritage Baptist Church. It's to the Lord. And you know, I got to check this all the time, by the way. Why am I doing that? Well, one of the reasons is I love him. I love who he is. I love what he is. I love what he did for me. I'm thankful. Where's your love? What is your love? What do you mean by what is your love? Is it sincere? He says here, notice again, verse number 5, with all thine heart. Is your heart in it? Is it sincere? Is it selfless? Notice, it says, with all thy soul. Is it selfless? And then is it strong? Notice what he says, with all thy might. How's your love? Where is your love? What is your love? The great response to the one Lord is one love. Say, what are we going to do? Well, he's going to show us these things through the Ten Commandments. Then he says this, we have a great responsibility. Look at verse 6 and 7. We have a great responsibility. One law. Look at verse 6. And these words which I command thee this day shall be in thine heart. And thou shalt teach them diligently unto thy children, shall talk of them when thou sittest in thine house, and when thou walkest by the way, and when thou liest down, when thou risest. One law. One law. Now, we understand that as there are lords many and gods many, there are laws many. Come on, there's laws many. It's just like, you know, you got out here, you have, you know, speed limits. Those are laws. No, my law is the law of God. Well, the law of God says keep the law of the land. You should remember that when you're going down the highway and talking in Washington on your phone going 70-some miles an hour in a 60-mile-an-hour zone when you pass me in my truck. We had two different laws going on that day. Just letting you know that. Just kidding. We went out to the airport today and he passed, just flew by me with talking on his phone in Washington. In my truck. That was the same law for both of us, by the way. You just disobeyed it more than I did because I was going 67. This is the law he's talking about, though. There's one law. There's one law. You know what will make it easier in your household? There'll be one law. There won't be a set of laws over there for this person and a set of laws for this person and a set of laws for me and a set of laws. There's just one law. And so we teach them, we learn them, and then we teach them. He says, these words which I command me. Now, just as a side note, that's why one reason why we talk about you getting a King James Bible. No one in here is arm-barred ever about getting a King James Bible. If you don't have one this evening, you probably had a little difficulty following some of those Ten Commandments. Okay? But just get to know that, hey, there's one law. There's one law written. It's all on the same page. You wouldn't want to have at home a different set of laws over here. These are mom's laws, and these are dad's laws, and these are Leah's laws, and these are... Well, Molly does have a different set of laws in our house. But I mean, if you just had that, it's just a little bit different. But you got to have one set of laws. One set of laws. Right here. These words. Do you see that? And notice, if you would, over to Ecclesiastes chapter 12. We're going to come right back here to Deuteronomy chapter number 6. Look what he says in Ecclesiastes 12. Solomon said this. We were near here this morning. Look at Ecclesiastes. So right there to Proverbs. And then the next book over, Ecclesiastes. Last chapter of Ecclesiastes. And look at chapter 12, and then look at verse number 13. So this great wise man, probably outside of Jesus Christ, no wiser man on the earth ever, he penned these words after looking at everything out there in nature and considering all these things under the sun. Here's the conclusion, verse 13. Let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Fear God and keep his commandments, for this is the whole duty of man. Why? For God shall bring every work into judgment with every secret thing, whether it be good or whether it be evil. So one reason we go over these commandments, we're going to go over these commandments, is because, listen, you're going to be judged according to the things that you do in your body, Christian, whether it be good or bad. And the law is still holy and it's still just and it's still good and it's still right to keep these things. Now, you're not going to be weighing the balances for salvation. We understand that. Jesus Christ, he tipped the scales in our favor. That's all. And he just, just kind of, you know, just looks like the devil thinks he's got you. And then Jesus Christ just slides his toe over there. That's not how it's going to work. But it'd be kind of funny if that did. Not for me. I don't want any tipping of any scale. I mean, I just want it to all look that it's going in my direction the whole time. But when you're on the scales, I'm just saying. Maybe just Ray. God is going to bring every work into judgment. He is. You know, another time that God wrote on some table or some stone, it was in Daniel chapter number 5, and there was a king there, Belteshazzar, and he's holding this great drunken feast, and a hand comes out of nowhere. The Bible says he was stoned. Bible says that the joints of his loins were loosed, and you can interpret that as wet pants. And a finger came out. It was the finger of God. And it wrote on the wall and it said, "Meni, meni, tekel, uparzin." What that meant, we got an interpretation in the scriptures, thou art weighed in the balances and found wanting. You lack. We're trying to judge these things, Belteshazzar. And when it comes to good and when it comes to bad, we've got the judgment and the books are open. And For you, here's the good, here's the bad, here's the good, here's the bad, bad. And giving you warning. He's given a lesson to us. We don't want to be found wanting. So we got to know what they say so we can follow them. And so we have a great revelation, it's one Lord. And the great response is one love. And we have a great responsibility, that's one law. And what we're to do with this one law is we're to teach it. Go back here to Deuteronomy chapter 6. We're to teach it. And I think we all understand, or at least we should understand, that most of our teaching doesn't happen just with our words. Our mouths. Although we ought to use our mouths. We ought to teach. We ought to speak. That's what God did. Right? He didn't say just go obey. He said obey this. He told you exactly what to obey, didn't he? I mean, I think that's awesome that he did that. Man, I have trouble with some of them. I'm like, man, I don't like every one of them. Come on. My natural man, he doesn't like all those type of things. I mean, I don't know, I like some things better than others. But I mean, the inner man loves it all. The inner man delights in the law of God. The new man, Christ Jesus, he delights in it. And by the way, he did in all those things. He came and he fulfilled the law. He came not to destroy it, Matthew chapter 5 says, but he came to fulfill it, and he did. See, the Bible says that, in James, that if you offend in one, you're guilty of all. And Jesus Christ never offended in one. He didn't offend in any. He kept them all. He wasn't guilty of any. He fulfilled the law. And he makes it possible, if you would, then for us to fulfill the law on a day-to-day basis. Again, not for salvation. Don't get me wrong. I think we all get that. We are saved by the grace of God. Jesus Christ died for our sins. He was buried and rose again the third day that you might have life and that we might have life. Now we live here and there's some law still. It's not like we just do whatever we please. The Bible says here in Deuteronomy 6 and verse number 7, we say it again, thou shalt, look at the word here, teach. Teach. Say, what's teach mean? It means teach. You're going to teach them. You're going to teach it with your life, and you're going to teach it with your lips. That's your conversation. That's your conversation. It's what you say and what you do. And if we've said it once, we've said it 100 times, your walk talks and your talk talks. But your walk talks louder than your talk talks. Your walk talks and your talk talks, but your walk talks louder than your talk talks. The reason I say that is because Brother Vineyard used to tell us, I was my teacher and my pastor and the school president when I was in Bible college. I mean, every time he got up to preach, it felt like he said, your walk talks and your talk talks, but your walk talks louder than your talk talks. The first time he said it, I looked like some of you when I said it first time, you're just kind of like, what? But you get it. Because your walk talks and your talk talks, but your walk talks louder than your talk talks. You say, if we say and we do not, that's called a hypocrite. And we can't get away with it out there, and we can't get away with it in our homes. And so what do? We teach our children, and we teach them convincingly. They're to be in our heart first. We teach them consistently, with diligence, precept upon precept. We teach them creatively. I like what he says there. We're going to put them on the wall, and if you would, that's conspicuously. I think that I was talking about it this afternoon with the Lord, and just maybe even next week if we get going, or if I get going enough. But just if you have a little Ten Commandments thing, print it out. You can frame it. You can do whatever you want. You can stick it and tack it in the wall. You can tape it. You can do whatever you want with it. You can throw it away. But just somewhere you put that thing and those Ten Commandments be before you. Here's what Independent Baptists do, and maybe it's other Christians as well, but I'm an Independent Baptist. We complain about the public schools taking the Ten Commandments out of the... We complain about the government taking the Ten Commandments out of the schools, and then we do nothing about it in our churches. You know? You say, well, it's not for salvation. We got Jesus. I got it. Praise the Lord for Jesus. Come on, man, praise the Lord for Jesus. But it's still good. See, he keeps saying it's holy and just and good. That's Romans chapter 7, and I think verse 12. We teach them conversationally. Look at these words, verse 8 and 9. Here it is, creative. Whoa. Thou shalt bind them for a sign upon thine hand, and they shall be as frontlets between thine eyes. And thou shalt write them upon the posts of thy house and on thy gates. If you ever seen an Orthodox Jew. I've seen them in airports. That's where I've seen them. And they've got these straps. They bind them on their arms. I mean, tight. And then they'll go to the Lord and in a corner of an airport or against a window, and they'll pray to God, their God. And they're binding it. It's a sign to them. They used to have little things they would wear around their necks, and they would keep scripture in them. And sometimes they would actually be on headpieces, and they would bind them. They would keep them before, they would have frontlets before their eyes. You would see it on someone else. They would see it on me. And I'm not saying we have to go through all those again, but we live in a pretty digital age, and we live in an age where every one of you probably has a printer in your house, and you could get creative in a way, and you could put the scripture someplace where you could see them, and they could remind you day in and day out. Look at, as verse number 7 says, all the day long. It's all the day long. You got to teach it conversationally. Look what he says in verse 20. And when thy son asketh thee in time to come, saying, what mean the testimonies and the statutes and the judgments which the Lord our God hath commanded you? Then thou shalt say unto thy son, and explain it to him. Don't pass it off. Don't think they just know it. Don't just give them a book. All those things are okay to give them a book or so. But hey, tell them. Tell them what the Lord has done for you. Tell them what saith the scripture. Tell them early. Tell them often. How can I do this? Well, I would say that you can do this if you've never done it before. If you've done it often, you can continue to do it only by the power of God. Only by the power of God. God strengthens you and keeps you, and God helps you to be a good mom, to be a good dad, to be a good grandma, to be a good grandpa. And how can I do this? Only by God's power. And why would I teach the law today? Look over to Galatians chapter 3. We're going to leave the Old Testament here. We've got two more scriptures. Look at Galatians chapter 3. The law is still a schoolmaster. It's still a teacher. Notice what he says in Galatians 3 and verse number 21, is the law then against the promises of God? Galatians 3:21. God forbid, for if there had been a law given which could have given life, verily righteousness should have been by the law. Galatians 3:22. But the scripture hath concluded all under sin, that the promise by faith of Jesus Christ might be given to them that believe. But before faith came, we were kept under the law, shut up under the faith, which should afterwards be revealed. Verse 24, now notice, wherefore, the law was our schoolmaster to bring us unto Christ, that we might be justified by faith. See, what did the law do? Well, the law said, you're a sinner. The law said, you're a sinner, so that you would know that you need a Savior. Paul says, I had not known lust, except the law had said, thou shalt not covet. It showed him, it proved to him through the scriptures, and that's how God proves to you through the scriptures that you're a sinner. Look back at Romans chapter 3, just a couple pages back, Romans in chapter number 3. And if you would, look at verse number 19. Romans 3 and verse 19, now we know that what things soever the law saith, it saith to them who are under the law, that every mouth may be stopped and all the world may become guilty before God. Romans 3:20, therefore by the deeds of the law there shall no flesh be justified in his sight. Notice, for by the law is the knowledge of sin. You wouldn't need a Savior if it wasn't for sin. But because of sin, you need a Savior. And what the law did is the law showed you that you were a sinner. It showed you that, you know, you lied. Some of you have seen, oh, come on, Kirk Cameron and Ray Comfort, correct? Is that his name? And The Way of the Master. And I like some of that stuff. And I guess that's irregardless to some of you. I mean, you know, I like some of it. I one thing I always got a little put off by was, I always saw Ray Comfort get people lost. And I'm sure many got saved. But they always left us hanging. I used to go home on Wednesday nights and watch The Way of the Master on one of the television stations. And I'd watch Ray Comfort. And he'd go through the law and he'd prove to them that they were lost. But that's great to show someone they're lost. But don't ever forget that when you get someone lost, Show them how to be found. Show them how to be saved. Say, what does the law do? Law help you show someone else how to be lost. Say, they're already lost. They know they're lost. Well, then you don't have much to show them. Just show them Jesus. But there's a lot of righteousness out there that God calls filthy rags. And you got to show people that even their righteousnesses are as filthy rags. Most people today know they've lied. They've stolen at one time or another. They've, you know, you can get people them, you know, you've never murdered, right? No. But have you ever told a lie? How did they know? Well, the law says, thou shalt not lie. And what is the transgression of the law? It's sin. So with the law, what does the law do for me today? Well, it schools you and teaches you and everyone else that they're still a sinner. What we're going to try to do through the next at least 10 weeks is go through these 10 commandments. And God help us as, let's just say, authority to be able to teach our households and teach other households as much as we can these commandments that are holy and just and good. One Lord. There's just one Lord whom we ought to love. And we have a responsibility then. We have a responsibility in this, in that love and in that law. And we need to take that responsibility and we need to teach our children well this one law of God. So that's the Ten Commandments, and we're going to go through that in the next couple weeks. Let's pray. Father.